Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I'm one of your hosts today, Janessa Finley Ford. Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are excited to be here on the air with you today. I am an empowerment coach, and I help leaders, healers, and high achievers, and all invincible humans, turn their obstacles into outcomes and their trials into triumphs as they master the art of being human.
And I'm SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner, just really helping to release out those ancestral energetics that are keeping us from being the best versions of ourselves.
So our funny story today, I went for a run for my lunch today, and I live a couple miles away from a library. Nothing gets me more excited than a beautiful spring day and a good book. So I will run down to the library to get my book, and then I will run back home, and that's my workout for the day. And so this is how I spent my day today. But on my run, I decided, I'm just going to do a little energy work. I was having a difficult time making a decision, and I'm like, there's something stuck there. I'm just going to move that energy while I'm running. And as I was running, I was getting really, really thirsty. And for people, if you haven't had energy work done before, water is really a key element. Water helps the energy move in our bodies. And I am running, and I, you know, did my little, I don't know, it was probably just like 10 minutes of energy work. I'm like, man, I'm so thirsty. I think maybe I teleported to the desert. I don't even know how there's a puddle alongside the road, but there was. Like, it hasn't rained here for, I don't know, a week, 5 days, who knows? It's been a little while, but there is barely a puddle. There's still a puddle. I looked at that puddle and I thought, well, if I don't find some water at the library, I might be drinking from you on my way back by here. But I had a lovely, lovely run, little excursion. And the book I got is The Alchemist, which was actually a book recommendation from one of our loyal listeners here on Eyes Wide Open. So thank you, Joni. I'm super excited to dive into this book.
Yeah, and we're talking about anxiety this month in Stronger Together. And anxiety is one of those really interesting things, energetics, that I think probably everyone has experienced at one time or another and in varying intensities. Like, I think this is one of those that is certainly a collective energetic that we can all relate to, and not something that is more of that like one-off energy too. From energy medicine perspective, anxiety is definitely one of those that typically is created when we are living too far in the future or living more in that ahead of what we're currently in rather than from that centered place of now as well. What do you notice with anxiety?
Well, I just want to state really quick, because I didn't at the very, very opening of the show. Callers, questions, we welcome all of it today. We'll give a personal testament to my anxiety, because I'm not going to sit here and just talk about it from the professional standpoint. Yeah, I work with a lot of anxiety. A lot of people deal with anxiety. And I also want to be an advocate to normalize it. I feel like anxiety sometimes is one of those things that we need to just kind of talk about hush-hush in the background with people we really trust. And, you know, the testament is really about my life being out of alignment versus in alignment. So I had my first panic attack when I was 21, if you're on our email list or social medias, you've seen the story. So I'm not going to get into that story really in depth, but I thought I was having a heart attack at 21, and I was like, I'm way too young to be having cardiac issues, but maybe I'm not because I've also had an eating disorder. Maybe I've destroyed my body. And I swear every time I've had an anxiety attack or panic attack, the thoughts that spiral with it only make it worse. And so the second panic attack I had, or anxiety attack, that was really, really memorable for me, was in the middle of Dodge Street in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, Omaha is the biggest city in the state of Nebraska. I know that doesn't make it like the biggest city compared to a lot of cities out there, but for the farm girl that I am, like, I am in the thick of traffic and cars are all around me. And I start getting lightheaded when I would have these intense anxiety attacks. I consistently would get really lightheaded and I was afraid I would pass out. And since this was only the second attack that I had ever had, the first one I was able to lay down and put my feet up to help send the blood back to my head and my heart. And that was not the case when you're driving a car. So, of course, my thoughts spin out with, oh, my gosh, I'm going to pass out while I'm driving. And this was also after having the car accident that I had where I was T-boned in the driver's side door. So, you know, some panic associated with traffic and things as well. But anyway, I played out this whole scenario in my head that I was going to crash my car and probably die. And then you just have more and more panic. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, just take some deep breaths and breathe. Now, once I started my healing journey and personal development, my anxiety decreased dramatically to literally just being an indicator that something was out of alignment for me when I was having it until 2022 happened. And then I had another round of anxiety through the legal situation that we traversed. A huge difference, though, between those two eras. So at 21, I thought this diagnosis of anxiety was worse than having heart issues because I didn't have any tools for it. And I thought that the only way to deal with it would be to take some pharmaceutical medications that I wasn't super excited to have to take for a really long period of time, potentially the rest of my life. And so with the knowledge that I had dealing with the anxiety that came up through 2022 and 2023, and I'm not going to sit here and say it was just like insignificant anxiety that let me know something was out of alignment. No, like I would sleep only a few hours at night anxiety. I would wake up and my mind would, just like you said, right, go to the future. Our life was changing so dramatically. It was challenging to envision how it was all going to shift and work itself out and how we would ever get to even where we are now, and here we are. But in the moment, it was really hard to stay in the present. Like, nope, I'm just laying here in bed. Everything's fine. There's a roof over my head. My bills are paid. I'm physically okay. My love is physically okay. Like, nothing about that was consoling. Like, nothing about that interrupted the anxiety. And so having the tools that we have and to be able to heal through the trauma and use tapping and light cone activation and the tools that we talk about a lot here really helped me navigate that era. But I didn't have the despair because I knew that the anxiety was not going to be permanent. And I also knew it was appropriate for what we were facing. Like, if we want to say that something is appropriate, but, you know, I didn't have that judgment that I shouldn't be experiencing this. And so unlike when I was younger and my thoughts would spin out and make it worse, I at least didn't have that element stacking on top of it. So that's a little bit of my own personal anxiety journey. Have you dealt with anxiety, SJ?
Yeah, I would have told you probably 3 years ago, oh, I've never experienced anxiety. I don't know what that is. In retrospect, though, there were multiple times that definitely it was anxiety that I was experiencing. I can think of a couple, like, this seems insignificant compared to a lot of the stories we have traversed in the last couple of years, but I definitely had a lot of test anxiety to the point of, like, the way it manifested was night sweats for me, not being able to sleep, waking up with that racing heart. I had no clue that that's what it was, to where, like, I can remember definitely probably junior, senior year, every night before a test, I just didn't sleep. Like, I would just watch TV all night to keep my mind occupied with something besides that. So not probably the best coping mechanism that I found at that age to handle that anxiety that I was experiencing, but that's certainly how I experienced it in my younger years. Recently, same type of stuff. Like, I knew what I was experiencing this time around. So I think that's the difference, right? Like, now you know the indicator and the identifier is like, hey, this is definitely anxiety. And luckily, I also had the tools to be able to do something about it and with it. But same type of stuff, right? Like those waking up with the night sweats, oftentimes having like terrible nightmares where you're recreating the story or the outcome, even if it was something that had already happened. And then sitting there going like, wow, which one is reality? Is like what I thought reality, reality? Let me actually go see if my kids are in their beds. Or did I like create some like paranoid alternate reality after this happened? So certainly, like, the same type of physical responses, though, like the night sweats, the, like, fast-racing heart, can't catch my breath, really kind of feel like I'm hyperventilating, all of those things still for me was how I experienced it in adulthood as well.
Yeah, like, we're talking about the big anxiety, right? I feel like this is also kind of big T, little T conversation, like big A, little A conversation. Anxiety yep. can come in that really... You cannot deny it. You cannot miss it form. But reflecting back on, you know, my 20-somethings, 21, there are a lot of signs. I'm sure I was expressing anxiety in a much lower vibration way for quite a while. You know, the, it's like anger, right? Like we're mad about stuff, but we displace it, or, you know, anxiety is that same way, to really identify how is the anxiety coming through. Is it asking rapid questions? For some people, I'll notice that that's their way of expressing anxiety when it hasn't mounted to an extreme level. For me, I get irritable, and that's a sign that I am anxious. And when I'm not tuning into it in the emotion and the sensation in my physical body, and I'm just trying to, like, I'm just going to override it. I'm going to handle the situation. It's going to be fine, and then it's going to go away, but I really don't need to tune in and process this. I get really irritable. So I think there's a lot to be said for the listeners out there. If you can identify how you express the anxiety before it mounts into the physical symptoms, where there is the chest racing, lightheadedness, faintness, maybe tingling in your arms, some of those more severe symptoms, it's going to give you some significant chances to stop that ship before you get to it sinking into severe anxiety attacks.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit of the opposite. Like, I certainly can connect with the anger, but, like, definitely in those midst of those anxiety attacks, I would cry and I would not have words. Two things that are very unlike my normal demeanor. So, like, I can't find the words to express anything, including anger, and I'm crying, which is not how I normally live my life. So definitely those would be my indicators. But in thinking about that, like, when my significant other is having his anxiety come through, it's just like word vomit of things that don't necessarily make sense, but kind of make sense, and like cannot stop, just like expelling all of it very erratically.
Yeah, you also mentioned the connection of paranoia and anxiety. And I see that a lot with clients as well, where there is a connection there, that the irrationality of the anxiety, and then it spins out into being really concerned, worried, paranoid about situations that is, there's a fraction of a chance of that happening, but it, like, the irrationality of it makes it seem like it's really possible. And I can definitely attest that I've lived that too. It's a very real part of anxiety. So you talked about anxiety as being, you know, living in the future, absolutely, thinking too far ahead. And I just want to talk a little bit about on the emotional side of anxiety, the manifestation of it can come also from not trusting the flow of life, like really believing that life is working for you, not against you, feeling boxed in. When we feel like we don't have control in situations, it can spark that anxiety, feeling like we're unable to call the shots. Definitely can also stir that anxiety. So, and then lastly, I also wanted to mention the living from effect rather than cause. So you feel like all of life's circumstances that are playing out around you, you don't have any influence in that. Hello, 2022. That was really the main driving factor of my anxiety then, was that I didn't feel like, what could I influence or change? How am I living from cause? But what you find with most all of these things is also a victim mindset. And so stepping out of that victim mindset where you're powerless and stepping back into your empowerment will do wonders for anxiety as well. But quite often people have a hard time identifying with, what am I feeling boxed in about? Or what am I unable to call the shots on? Because sometimes we've locked ourselves so tightly into a mental prison that we can't even see like the crack of influence that we have, or the crack of living at cause where we can influence a situation. So depending upon, you know, how much personal development work you've done, how much trauma you've had in your life, your viewpoint and perspective of life and the world around you, it could be really challenging to connect with the roots of the anxiety, or it could be really easy. It just totally depends on that fixed versus flexible, the victim-victor mentalities. And that's a big angle of the work that I do with anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, you've touched on this a bit, quite a bit, actually. But from that energetic perspective, anxiety can be looked at as like a disruption or imbalance in the flow of energy within the body and the subtle energetic system, so the mind and spirit energetics as well. And like Janessa has said, like that disruption can manifest as feelings, different ones for different people, could be even different for each time that you experience anxiety. But I mean, outside of anger, there could also be just general unease, fear, worry. All of that can really kind of come into play with anxiety. And it's not one of those one feeling is all you get to experience. Like it could be a plethora of feelings coming together that you notice whenever you have that anxiety coming forward. And also anxiety can be seen as excess or a lack of or stagnation of energy. So like from the chakra stance, like it can be too much or too little of the energetics, particularly in the upper chakras is where the anxiety starts to really manifest within that too much or too little, and specifically the heart, throat chakra, and the third eye. And this excess energy can lead to overthinking, worry, that paranoia, and an inability to stay grounded in the present moment, which is kind of what I was trying to get to with that leaning or living too much within the future and overlooking the things that are true within the present and in the stance that you are right now. And anxiety can also be a deficiency or blockage of energy in some of the lower chakras, though, too, depending on the trauma response that may have occurred as well. So if we had one of those big T traumas, like our root and sacral chakras certainly could have taken a hit that is helping to manifest more of that anxiety coming forward too. And I mean, when those energetics are not in balance as well, it can lead to feelings of insecurity, fear, that lack of grounding can come forward as well. So I guess why I say all of that to say that when we're dealing with anxiety, the chakras that we are typically dealing with are the root, the sacral, the heart, the throat, and the third eye. And it just depends on what the occurrence was that brought it forward to, and also the level of that trauma that came through as well.
It's always so fascinating to hear about the chakra system and how it all connects. I look at personality. And so one of the driving parts of anxiety is the uncertainty. We as humans really love certainty. And if we don't have certainty, things start getting a little wobbly internally and in the nervous system. And head points in the Enneagram, so the 5, 6, and 7 of the Enneagram, also love certainty. In fact, I think it is, I don't know, it might be the 6 and the 7. They love guarantees. I feel like one is a little bit stronger with that than the other. Maybe it's the Enneagram 7. Maybe you can attest to that. But they love a guarantee. Like, there's so much certainty in guarantees. So because the head points energy that fuels it is fear, the emotion that fuels their whole being and drives their personality is fear. Fear and anxiety are closely linked. So fear, you know, drives that thinking to think into the future, to plan for worst case scenario. It future projects you more. So that will stir more anxiety. But I don't want to stereotype solely personality types by the emotion that drives them, because all of us as humans will experience anxiety. I think there's also some connection to be made between our personality structure and how we express or experience the anxiety. That could be typed by each Enneatype, I think, more specifically than just simply saying that our head points have more anxiety. But the one thing about the personality structure that I do think is really important is because of the head points energy with fear, there is anxiety that results from trauma and all the things that we've already talked about. But then there's also learning to use that energy underneath your personality structure in a positive way. And if you don't learn to do that, then it can continue to cultivate and create anxiety. And so across the board, the Enneagram 6s tend to have the most anxiety naturally based upon their personality. And using the tapping or other tools morning and night is something that if I'm working with an Enneagram 6 with coaching and healing, it's just part of the recommendation that I make. So if any of the listeners out there, you know, you're Enneagram type, you're an Enneagram 6, I highly encourage you to use the tapping in the morning as part of your getting ready for the day routine, and also at night getting ready for sleep so that you sleep more soundly, because you have that fear in your nervous system all the time from your personality structure. It's what fuels you and carries you through every day. And so doing the tapping is so vital because it helps continuously move that and other emotions through your nervous system so it doesn't stagnate. Because when the anxiety builds up to a certain point and enough of the dominoes fall or enough of certain situations in life happen that trigger you, it gets to a place where your nervous system essentially blows the fuse, and that's when the anxiety attack happens. And so if you can prevent the energy, the fear, the anxiousness from building up in your nervous system, then you're a lot less likely to have the panic attack. So it's really important to keep the energy flowing through the body and through the meridians.
Yeah, and from the stance of flow from elemental, like certainly water, so doing that light column activation that we have within Stronger Together instead of light, though, using water just to get the energetics of those feelings and emotions to flow so that you can also come back into your body more. Because I feel like sometimes with anxiety, we almost have those out-of-body experiences where we even disassociate a little bit from our internal environment. Water energetics are amazing just to help come back into flow. Certainly earth energetics too, so doing light column but with earth energy is great for grounding and coming back into the present, into the now. So from energy medicine techniques, those would be the two that I would go to for anxiety when we're experiencing them. Or like Janessa said, tapping to start your day. I love light column activation to start my day, to end my day, to clean up anything that happens during it as well. So those are the two that I would say are the best, though, for anxiety energetics, is definitely water and earth energy.
I really want to hear about crystals and crystal recommendation, although I feel like that could be different per Enneagram too, even. Because I know there's one specific stone that really chills anxiety and calms anxiety for me. I don't know that it's across the board. So I'm anxious to hear about your recommendations, but we have a question. Do you want to take the question first or do you want to talk crystals first?
We can take the question.
Okay. So Sheila in New Zealand, thanks so much for writing in. Her question is that she can work with anxiety during the day when awake. Her challenge is nightmares, terrible things that I don't understand. Someone trying to murder me, and it feels so real. I need help with this. So the first thing that comes up for me is chakras, so I'm just going to toss it over to you because chakras is way more your expertise than mine.
Anytime that we are dealing with nightmares, we're actually working with transpersonal chakras, which those are the ones that are not within your body. They are external of your body. So the main three, Sheila, that you would be looking at would be the Earth Star, which is 1 foot beneath your feet. And then the first transpersonal is 1 foot above your head, and the second transpersonal is 2 feet above your head. I would certainly, from a crystal stance and a chakra stance, really focus on that Earth Star chakra to begin with. And I know that there's probably some YouTube meditations out there for grounding with Earth Star, but you could modify any root chakra activation within, just set your intention for it to ground and focus on the Earth Star chakra. So just some tips to kind of modify any of those meditations that you can find there. From a crystal stance to really support that Earth Star and make sure that you're staying within your own energetics and keeping energetics that are not yours external of you, even during sleep. I mean, boundaries is where it's going to be at too, like really working with those energetic boundaries ahead of sleep to make sure that they are functioning at 100% at all levels as well. So something I feel like we teach this definitely monthly, but I feel like weekly in Stronger Together too, is how to work with those energetic boundaries to ensure that they are up and ready to go. So Sheila, if you're interested, there's definitely a lot of resources within that Stronger Together community for energetic boundaries. From a crystal stance, I love smoky quartz. I love Numite for this. I actually really love dream quartz for any time that we are experiencing nightmares or kind of those sleep attack type of energy. So dream quartz is another one that it would be amazing to work with. And the aspect of, I don't know if you're into crystals or gridding, Sheila, but I highly would recommend gridding even your bedroom with that dream quartz and Numite specifically, and garnet, just to help add in an extra layer during sleep as well.
Yeah, when I read the question, I don't feel it's so much anxiety connected. I think the anxiety stems from, it feels outside of the control, right? When you fall asleep, how do you influence or control what happens in your sleep when you're in a non-awake state? I used to have crazy things happen in my sleep. Crazy. So my husband would wake me up in the middle of the night, actually. And he would be like, I don't know, I think you're slaying dragons. And he was saying that flippantly, although I think there was something really real to it. And anyway, he'd wake me up. He's like, I'm not going to leave you there. Like, I'm sorry to wake you. But that did not seem like you were in a good place. So I just wanted to bring you back to a peaceful space. And that can create anxiety in getting ready to go to sleep and what's going to happen tonight. And then when it does feel so real and you wake up in that emotion, having the tools to calm the emotions. I would encourage dream work of writing down, although it sounds like you probably remember a lot of your dreams. Sometimes we remember them when we wake up and then they're gone. So if you are forgetting them, writing them down so that when you have some space in your day, looking into the spiritual meaning behind the dreams that you're having. I connect a lot of dream and sleep disturbances to the spiritual aspect of ourselves. And you can key into how that pattern, the energy is aligning consciously by exploring what the dreams mean in a spiritual sense or interpretation. And that can be a lot of fun. So it's another reason why I bring it up. In fact, maybe having an episode on dream work in itself would be something you guys would be interested in exploring, since our dreams can be so wild. And I think across the board in the last, maybe since the lunar eclipse, my dreams have been really wild, and I hear a lot of people having really wild dreams right now. So we actually have three more questions that popped in. So Sheila, I hope that helps. I hope that gives you some direction. And you can, of course, reach out to us further if you would like, or if you have any follow-up questions. Kelly in New York. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Wednesday. Thanks for being here. She wrote in and said, you mentioned uncertainty, and it really does feel to me internally that certainty is gone. We seem to be on a new, unexplored ground energetically, and I'm having a great challenge integrating this. Do you experience this or understand this? And what do we do?
Well, I'm immediately feeling a pull to talk about the generative versus degenerative forces from energy medicine principles, too. So when we're sitting in that uncertainty, that would be considered a degenerative force that's coming to play, and they can quite literally be replaced by a generative opposing force. So instead of, you know, really sitting in that everything is uncertain, I have no certainty, I have nothing, right? You can rewire and reprogram that to work with those absolute scalar waves. I know this is something we've talked about on this radio show if you've been following us, but if you haven't been following us, it's free energy that is available to everybody. Nikola Tesla actually proofed out that these things exist and is available from that free energy stance as well. But you can have those, or just simply ask those absolute scalar waves to bring in the generative force of certainty and allow it to flow through every cell in your body, connecting you to certainty. I would say that would be the first place that I would start with that uncertainty energetic.
I love that from the energetic standpoint. From a mindset standpoint, I would encourage journaling. Journaling out everything that you are certain about, your characteristics, your dwelling, your home, your food supply, like whatever it is. And also looking at when you've walked through uncertain chapters or episodes in your life in the past, how did it all work out? Because you'll probably find that things worked out for themselves in some way fairly well, more times than not. And really building the mindset that, you know, we're spiritually protected, we're held, we're cared for, we're provided for, the world is an abundant place. So even if things are shifting and times are changing, there's always going to be an abundance. And I don't know if history does it for you or not. History doesn't really do it for me personally, but I think that there's treasures in history, especially in terms of this chapter that we're living through. And I've talked about the theory of the fourth turning, where we go through these really hard times to cultivate very strong humans. And I think we're in the midst of that. And so whether you need the physical strength, you know, going to the gym and creating a better temple body for this experience, or maybe you need the emotional strength. And when it comes to anxiety, I definitely think that the emotional and mental sides, and of course spiritual plays into everything, are really where, if we can build that resiliency and tenacity and strength within our mental and emotional systems. And I really think that can be supported through the journaling, looking at the things that you've already walked through and how you've come out, and anchoring yourself back to that success, to that tenacity, to that resiliency. And then just how much fun can you have? And I know sometimes like that comment can be so cringeworthy. I shared it with our version of this, but relevant to how much fun can you have too. in 2023 when my husband was gone. And that was one of the things my coach challenged me with. She's like, how much fun can you have? How much play can you experience when things aren't great, when things aren't good? And I'm like, you know, and it was in one of those days when you're emotionally charged. I didn't live the whole year that way, but I am human. I have those moments. I'm like, what do you mean have fun right now? Like, my have fun is sit in the backyard, maybe in my hammock with a book. But there's so much judgment wrapped around that. Like, that was my fun for that year, and that's okay. It was just a chapter. It was just a small part, a small blip in all of my life. And so bring in some fun. And maybe your fun looks way different this year or right now than it does 2 years ago. Doesn't matter. Have as much fun as you can have, because when you're in that light energy, all of that uncertainty is going to also chill. It's going to calm down for you. So have some fun, journal, give yourself credit for everything you've already, you know, nailed out of the park, and just keep building that tenacity and inner strength. Brenda in Montana, she says, anxiety is a huge thing for me and has been for my whole life. I had different distractions when I was younger that helped to divert my focus, but now later in life, I've found myself turning to substances to function, primarily drinking. I feel like I'm stuck in a weird negative pattern, and I honestly don't know how to pull out of it. Any advice you have would be much appreciated. Sorry, I'm trying to hold in a cough, and I'm like, I can't mute fast enough. I don't want to cough. I'm going to cough. I don't want to cough in everybody's ear. So that's the delay. Okay, Brenda, thank you so much for your vulnerability and your realness. It takes a certain amount of inner fortitude to write in a question like that, that is so real with where you are. And I think there's so much value in what you said around identifying that you had different distractions when you were younger, and the drinking is an attempt for that, for a distraction. And perhaps because of the way the brain responds to alcohol, drinking can become a little bit more than just merely a distraction, and it can be a harder distraction to break once we build that habit into form. And so, having had an eating disorder, I'm just going to be really honest. I really feel like the best advice to give you is to not do this alone. Is it possible to do it alone? It is. That's my own story, and it took me years to walk out the other side of that. So if you're looking for not taking years to bring yourself through to the other side of this situation, I really think having someone professional in your corner who works with those behaviors is super, super valuable. And I don't know if you're, you know, considering drinking a problem, an addiction, where you're at in between at this point, but there's a pain-pleasure link to behaviors such as drinking. And so being able to disconnect that pain to pleasure so that you can just have pleasure. Like, things can just be good without having to have the pain that's involved with that. And a lot of people are raised in some sort of trauma household where there's neglect or abuse of some form or fashion, or a lot of lying that is really destructive to the family or to the child, to the psyche, that will create the inability to just have the pleasure. But I hear again, while not necessarily as simple as having fun, would encourage you to build in pleasure into your life and divert your focus with things that are pleasurable versus numbing, harmful, using the tapping and the different tools to process the emotions that are going to come with not being in a numbed state. And processing emotions is just a really huge, huge part of any substance use. of being able to deal with life on life's terms, as the 12-step program talks about, and accepting what is and dropping the judgment around it of how what we thought life should be, we're not far enough along. So that's my sixth sense on that. What do you have, Esther?
Well, I think you covered it, and I think you should toot your own horn a little bit more. Janessa has an amazing program for addiction release as well. She has a ton of success stories around that. So that is where my mind went instantly, was she would be a great resource for you to reach out to and work with to let go of that. I know as a Enneagram 7, there are often plenty of addictions that have come to the forefront for me to have worked, and Janessa has been amazing at helping me to not just release them, but identify them, because some addictions I feel like just are hiding and you just don't realize that I'm addicted to something specifically. I mean, I go to our work today, Janessa, where we were working with my addiction to chaos and drama that comes forward. So there's so many good things that can come from seeing those patterns and identifying them, acknowledging that they are there, and then working them too.
Look, we are all addicted to something, me included. It is just such part of the human experience that being able to step out of that behavior is huge and clutch, but there is no shame to be had around addiction whatsoever, because we get addicted to emotions, to a certain state. And again, people raised in chaotic homes or high trauma environments in their childhood, their nervous system acclimates to that. And then as you go through addiction recovery, if you will, it's easy to turn it to another addiction, which is why I really built the program that I worked, to not set people up to just turn to something else, but to really shift their whole identity of how they see themselves. So, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with the 12-step program. I use it obviously a ton or involved with it. Clients had to use it all the time when I worked in the criminal justice field. But with that, you go to a meeting and you sit there and you say, I am an addict. And the words that you speak, especially I am over yourself, have a lot of power. And the other thing that I saw with people time and again, community is so huge for all of us. But especially with addiction, when someone's community is all people who are toxic to the life of sobriety that they're trying to live, they would become addicted in a way to the 12-step program. And so it was just shifting. It's not actually shifting the, you know, all of the coping triggers. And this could be way deeper than what Brenda needed, but you get me going on addiction and I'll geek out for a good 10 minutes. So with that, yes, there are some fantastic testimonials. If you'd like to know more, you can reach out to me at www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. Having lived that eating disorder life that I had, addiction is one of my favorite things to actually help people walk through and see them thrive on the other side in ways their brain couldn't even have dreamt of. Okay, Layla. Layla, you're next. Thank you, Brenda, for your question. Layla in Boston. Everyone always tells me that fear is not real, that it's false evidence appearing real. And I truly wish it was, but I do see terrible things happening to me and my friends, and seriously, at the end of the day, we all die. The FEAR acronym is not settling to me. In fact, it makes me feel worse. Do you have any advice that might help? So I love this question. I just feel so much personality in this question, and I love the straightforward, like, this is what I think, and this is what I experience. So thank you for that. I was actually, like, having this conversation with a friend about, it came up in terms of demons, but it's an analogy. It's parallel here. So hear me out. And we were talking about, you know, demons. You can't see them. So is it really real? Or if you believe that they're not real, then, because what we believe we create, right? So if we believe in demons, then they're real or they're actually out there. And if we don't believe in them because we're trying to create a reality where they don't exist, are we spiritually bypassing? So I would say your question about fear is very similar, except emotional bypassing. The one thing that I would say about fear is that in regards to this acronym, false evidence appearing real, I interpret that from a spiritual aspect, that we know that fear is not of light, truth, God, energy, whatever that is to you specifically. It is not how we were created to be. And that we know that when fear is present, it is maybe what SJ would refer to as degenerative forces, but that's just what came in. Those words are not what I use in my work. So whether that was an intuitive nudge or not, she can expand further on that. But fear is not of our true nature. And so having a way to process through the fear so that you can come back to the balanced and empowered aspect of life, it's part of being human. There are some people within the Enneagram sixes can be counterphobic to fear. And so they live in that, like, I don't fear anything mindset. I don't ever feel fear. The fear is there. They're not connecting with it, right? And so we can also block access to having fear. We can block access to various different emotions. And so this is where I never really try to force people to believe a different reality until they feel it or experience it for themselves. And so, I mean, I don't know if this is just really prominent in front of you and around you all of the time, but there's like no need to have any shame with fear and just having tools to process it. Because fear also doesn't have to be paralyzing or overwhelming. We can acknowledge it. What is it trying to do for us? Do some tapping, do some crystal work, move through it. SJ, what about fear? And is this a degenerative force? What's the scoop?
It is. So the degenerative force would be fear. The generative opposite to that would be unconditional love. So it's those two polar norms. Now, the thing, though, with degenerative forces is you don't want to necessarily eliminate them completely, right? Like, you want your fear force to come into play when you're about to be eaten alive by a lion. That's really useful. We should have that so that we can move ourselves in a direction that keeps us safe. But when it's that overpowering, and especially like Janessa was talking about, where it's more spiritual, it feels like, from the aspects that you're experiencing it, that's when we want to replace the degenerative force of fear with that of unconditional love and that support, knowing that you're connected, never alone, energy coming to play with that as well. I chuckle a little bit at the, like, fear isn't real. Fear is 100% real. Like, I'm sorry, we experience it, so therefore it is the simplest way that I can put it. Fear's real. Is it always useful? Is it always something that is accurate in the moment? Not necessarily, but it is an amazing indicator sign of something that you are trying to move away from. So it's not one of those. It's kind of like anger. Like, you don't want to get rid of it necessarily. Like, there is a use for this emotional response. It's just really making sure that we are connecting to it and acknowledging what's coming with that so that we can move out of whatever that response is. I think we have a couple more
questions on fear. I know. This is
amazing.
On fear and anxiety. Okay, we have two more questions. We'll try to get to them and wrap the show on time at the top of the hour. I can't believe we didn't even get to talk the crystals for anxiety. Maybe we need an anxiety part two. Let us know if you want more anxiety and fear. Not in your life, on the show. Just to be clear. So Cheryl in Toronto wrote, I love your show. What happened with your husband? Are you back together? Much love to both of you. You're so sweet. I'm giving you a virtual hug. Oh my gosh, you are amazing. I shared in the very, very, very beginning of our show, if you go to the archives on News for the Soul or you go to my website, you can find the very original episodes of the show where I really get into the story. But the short version of the story is that my husband was incarcerated for a crime I personally believe he did not commit, and I dug very deeply into the case as deep as I could go. But he chose to take a plea agreement, believing he would get probation. He was incarcerated federally. He came home in December of 2023. And so, yes, we are back together now and rebuilding our lives and on to bigger, better things. Full faith that all of this happened for some reason still yet to be determined in our life. But here we are. So kind of a shout out to one of the previous questions, you know, of when you walk through the dark times and you build that emotional resiliency, uncertainty loses its sting because you take it one day at a time and you make it through it. And you can do that over and over again every day, no matter what the circumstances are. So there's lots of juiciness in those hard times that we walk through. Thank you so much, Cheryl. I really appreciate you tuning in. Anne in Chicago, I make a point of touching your show every week and I absolutely love it. We love you, Anne. Thank you for listening. There's a couple things I've heard you mention, and I don't understand what they are. Stronger Together, is that the actual name of your show, or what is that? Perfect segue to our shameless plug. So the name of our show is Eyes Wide Open. Maybe I should have simplified naming conventions of all of the things. This is a great question. We appreciate you asking. Stronger Together is the community SJ and I have built, where we bring all of our healing modalities and our gifts and our talents together for group coaching and group healing. And so we choose a topic every month. This month it's anxiety. So we talk about that topic here on Eyes Wide Open, but then we have healing sessions in our community for those topics as well. So people don't just get the goods on the surface, the conscious information. Sometimes that can be more triggering than having the tools or having the healing underneath the surface. And so within Stronger Together, we just have a brilliant community of wonderful souls that are all like-minded, lifting each other up, cheering each other on as we do this thing called life together, and supporting each other in our personal development and healing paths. There are so many resources and tools in there. We have, just on the platform and the courses alone, 15 to 20 different interventions that you can use to interrupt energetic patterns. We teach the muscle testing and pendulum use so that you can do all of this self-healing in really powerful ways for yourself, for your family, your friends if you want to. If you're a healer, you can use them with your own clients. Like, truly, there is content and the gifts that keep on giving on top of those healing sessions where we all come together and get underneath the underneath so that we don't have to continue to wrestle with the things that trip us up in life. SJ, what else do you have to add? There's just so much to talk about with the community. I feel like I always struggle with the shameless plug at the end when we talk about it because there's tons too. What is there?
I think the real-time community Voxer coaching is one of the greatest aspects of that community too, where you have access to not just us, but the community. And we are so lucky to have a ton of business women in there, also a ton of other energy healers in there as well. So you're really getting aspects from not just our modalities, but a lot of other people's modalities and lived life experiences as well, where you can connect and drop in questions that you have or your experiences that you're going through and just really start to see some of those collective energetics coming together and get that real-time help from not just us, but also the community for whatever you are experiencing as well. So I really feel like the Voxer community is one of the greatest perks of that. Of course, the courses that are already ready there and the three live coaching calls every single month are amazing. But seriously, that community is what makes this such a powerful experience too.
Yeah, soul-led living at its finest. It's amazing. So our next call in Stronger Together is actually tomorrow night. and we are going to be focusing on the healing of the anxiety. I thought we would get to so much more with anxiety here today. Your guys' questions were amazing this week, so thank you for sending those in. Tomorrow we are going to go into not only anxiety, but also social anxiety and healing social anxiety, because they're similar, but there's a little bit different, some different driving factors for those. So those calls are held at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, so on and so forth for all of the time zones. You can calculate it from there. So next week, I will be back with, I think, confidence. I think confidence is going to be the thing. But maybe it'll be a different topic. Tune in. It'll be a surprise. And I also feel like sometimes we trip over ourselves not telling people where they can find it. If you would like to find more information on the Stronger Together community, please go to SJ's website, www.crystallinecurrents.com, or to my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. And, of course, we invite you to reach out to us on social media or email with any questions that you have as well, and we will gladly answer them. Thank you so much for being here, and until next week, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.